This is the Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher on ESPN 1025 The Game. Brought to you locally by MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert.
This is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. Welcome to Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Over the next 60 minutes, we'll break down the latest in Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford dealers. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Commodores, Joe Fisher.
Well, another beautiful night in Music City. I'm Joe Fisher, glad to be with you for the Commodore Hour here as we will talk Vanderbilt athletics for the next hour here on 102.5 The Game. Boy, you can't beat this weather. It has been terrific here as the Commodores took on LSU last Saturday night, and they will host South Carolina coming up this Saturday morning, as a matter of fact. So we're going to turn things around and have an 11 a.m. start time against the Gamecocks of South Carolina. Vanderbilt falls to LSU 41-7. We'll talk with Coach Derek Mason coming up here in just a moment about that and about the process for moving forward in that regard. And then also later on, we're going to talk with John Williamson, the head coach of the Commodore women's bowling team, two-time national championship bowling team, and talk about what they're dealing with right now with the COVID situation and the uncertainty with their season and all the things that are coming up for them. And so we will talk with him coming up here shortly. But first things first, we will take a break. We'll come back, and we will visit with Commodore head coach Derek Mason. That's coming up next. And welcome back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to be with you. Vanderbilt football will be brought to you in part by the Tennessee Lottery. The Tennessee Education Lottery, proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion to support education programs in Tennessee. Always great to have Commodore head coach Derek Mason join us here for the first half hour of this show. And before we talk about the current Vanderbilt team, Coach, man, I know you were excited. I know I was too. Keyshawn Vaughn with a big catch from Tom Brady to give Tampa Bay the lead and the win. That was pretty special, wasn't it?
It was special. I mean, Keyshawn is a special player. It's fun to see him doing what he wants to do, what he's meant to do. And he it was exciting. I mean, I didn't get a chance to see it, man, but I saw like the highlights, and I couldn't be more ecstatic for him. I know it's been one heck of a journey during COVID. Even being in the NFL, you take the journey, and all you're trying to do, man, is make a difference. And he made a difference yesterday, so it was good to see him, great to watch.
It was a lot of fun to watch, I tell you. When he caught that pass, and then he and Brady celebrated together. That was a lot of fun to see. And you know, here's a guy. I got to guess. You know, Coach Keyshawn is sitting there, and all of a sudden they sign these free agents. Like, what the heck is going on? They're taking my legs out from under me, but he's hung in there. I give him a lot of credit.
Yeah, you know what? That's the business of the NFL. And a lot of people don't understand the business side, but, you know, you go to the NFL, bunch of grown men, and, you know, it's about, you know, acquisition of talent. And you're trying to acquire the best players that you can in order to make your roster work. Generally in the NFL, man, you need more than one back. And it just so happens that they sign a couple. But in the end, his talent was going to have an opportunity to step to the forefront. And he was ready. He was prepared. He had a process. He worked his plan. And now what you see, you know, is a young man is well on his way in that league.
Yeah, before we talk about this current Vanderbilt team, I want you to talk about that a little bit, because I've read some stuff from Tampa, and they've talked about, you know, he was in a situation where, you know, he was obviously not happy. You know, things had been jumped over him. He could have, you know, sulked and gone home, and he did not do that. How much of that is just based on what you learn going through what you went through at what you put them through at Vanderbilt to be ready when your number is called?
Yeah, we talk about it all the time. Remember, he had to sit out, you know, when he transferred back here from the University of Illinois. He had to sit out a year. So he had to wait. And for him during that time, he could have done one of two things. And I challenged him. I challenged him to make sure, man, that he took every day and he tried to get better. Okay. And then him working on his game, when the opportunity came, then he would be ready. There was no need to get ready. And I, for him, there were a bunch of things here at Vanderbilt University that I think sort of paved the way, you know, like for where he is today and like sort of what his mindset is. You know, he got his degree here at Vanderbilt. That was not easy. Keyshawn was a good student, but it's like anything else. He had to work hard at it. And so just learning how to work hard in the classroom, work hard on the football field, sitting out a year, becoming a father, all those things were just part of his process and part of the growth process and maturity, you know, of a young man who had to deal with things not necessarily happening at the right time. So to see, you know, like him have to go through that situation there in Tampa, and it was just about being prepared, being ready, having a process, and then just working his plan. And he did it. He called back here. He talked to you know, Darius Darden Box, man, and he gave me a call. And the only advice I could give to him was, hey, you've been here before. You know, this is the NFL now. So this is what you do. This is what you ask for. Okay, all you got to do, man, is just stay in the hunt. And, you know, that's exactly what he did. And so in that, like I said, now, you know, he's being rewarded. But it's good to see, you know, I mean, good people have good things happen to them, man, because they stay the course.
Let me ask you one last thing on him before we talk about this current Vanderbilt team. And what does it mean to you as a coach to see a guy do that, to do what you've asked him to do, to try to do what you've taught him to do in that regard, to handle this situation the right way? What does that mean to you?
It means that, you know, man, a young man like Keyshawn Bond just really understood, you know, what the process of maturing was about. When he came here, I mean, look, he was already a mature young man. But again, sometimes when there's things that you don't like in life, and you can do one of two things. Okay, you can say, okay, I quit and I'm done, or you can figure out how to persevere. So I think a lot of times, and we see this a lot of times with young people, it's easier to say, okay, well, I'm done, than it is to take the rough climb or the hard climb to get from where you are to where you want to be. And for me to see that, for people in this building to see that, man, it just lets you know everybody's got to work at it. I don't care, you know, what the accolades are. I don't care where you were taken. Okay, it just lets you know, man, you still got to go compete. Okay, you still got to prepare the right way. And Keyshawn's done that, and then some. And I think that's why we saw what we saw yesterday, because it's all about, you know, being able to stay in the hunt. And he did so. And now I truly believe his best football in the NFL is definitely in front of him. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers believe that too.
I believe so too. We're talking with the Commodore head coach, Derek Mason, talking Vanderbilt football here for this first half hour of the Commodore Hour. And I know, Coach, I guess what you normally do is the game ends, you go back, you look at the tape. So just kind of give us a little bit of a summary, if you will, after looking at the tape from Saturday night's game against LSU, what comes to mind with you?
Well, you look at some lapses in execution offensively, special teams, just not being consistent in any shape, form, or fashion. I thought Harrison punted the ball well, but I think in terms of our coverage teams, you know, we had some freelancing going on. We had some younger guys being or you know, having their first opportunities to get on the field, and what you saw is, you know, collectively, offense to defense, defense to special teams, maybe just miscues, defensively tackling, you know, some execution, some communication, turnovers, you know, for us in critical situations. These are all things, man, that don't lead to playing good football. So collectively, again, I start with me. You know, man, I need to do a better job, and that's not the way we wanted to play that football game. But this team is resilient, and I think the biggest thing that we had to do was just talk about just being united, okay, man, and owning the mistakes, okay? Start at the top. Just own the mistakes, okay? Now, what do we need to do to get better? And that's exactly what we did on Sunday. I mean, we're gonna, we started the process of just forward focusing on what we need to do to get it done against South Carolina. And I think that's where it's got to go. I mean, you got to flush that game really quick. We wanted to play better football, but it didn't show. And so in that, you just got to grind for more. And that's exactly what this group has done. I mean, they've been in the building a lot over the next 2 days. Today was an off day, supposedly, but I've seen more guys up here digging into the tape, just trying to make sure, man, that they're about a process, gaining these details and making sure, man, that what we saw on Saturday doesn't happen again. Because it's correctable, it's fixable, but it takes intentional commitment in order to get that done.
Let's talk about a couple things on special teams. And one is, you mentioned Harrison. I thought he punted the ball well. I wonder sometimes, and we use that old phrase, Coach, as you all know, sometimes you outkick your coverage. You know, I wonder if sometimes maybe he just kicked it farther than you could cover. Was that something that factored into this?
It did a little. I mean, we talked about Stingley going into this game and how dynamic and productive, he can be. And so I think on the punt return that we saw, it was more about the direction of the punt than it was about the punt itself. I thought it was a great punt, but like for him, he mishit it to the field. And we wanted to make sure, man, that we didn't have to cover, 53 and a third. We only wanted to cover, a third of the field. And so he mishit it, but it was a great mishit. So like a golf hit. Great mishit, but, you know, from a coverage perspective, that was going to make it extremely hard because everybody was thinking pin left, but ball goes right. So now you got to get out of your lane. And a guy like him, Stingley did a great job. I thought our gunners got down there, but we didn't actually take a shot on him. And in not taking a shot, you give a guy a chance to circle the field. And, look, he showed why, he is dynamic. But, I was glad to see Harrison work hard to cut him off and get him down. And that was good. But on the flip side of that, I thought we saw, in our return game, the emergence of Donovan Coughlin, and I think that was promising, for this group of Commodores, because I think he's dynamic in the return game as well.
I want to ask you about that because, he catches one 5 yards deep, a kickoff 5 yards deep, and I'm sitting there thinking, okay, take a knee, bring it out to the 25, and here he comes. Was that okay with you on the sideline?
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I looked at it at first and I was like, no, stay. But hey, look, that's what good players will do, man. He's fearless. He's a young warrior. He's fearless. He wants the ability to return, and that's why he's back there. That's why he won the job. But to be able to see him read, in the blocks, I thought the back line and front line guys did a good job of getting hats on hats. I wish we could have stayed on it longer because he only had, one guy to beat, and that was the kicker, and actually a guy who we had blocked earlier circles back and like he's able to cut him off. But again, I thought the young man made some good decisions with the ball in his hand. He ran hard, and we got him to look forward to over the next 4 years. So I like our chances in the kickoff return game.
I like him, Coach. He goes north and south. He doesn't go east and west. I like the way he does that. We saw another guy that we called his name a couple of times in this game on Saturday, in Jaden Harrison. A product of Pearl Cone. You ran a couple of plays for, had a nice end around, got some things going. This is a young man that's kind of come out of nowhere, and suddenly, he's played up the depth chart.
Yeah, he is playing up the depth chart. I mean, Amir didn't have as good a Saturday because he had a nagging injury. So we're trying to get him up to speed. But when you look at missing Devin Body, James Bostic, Keon Brooks, we needed to cultivate another weapon in this. And Jaden had been practicing well. It just needed some opportunities. And obviously, you can see he's strong. He's fast. But we got to get him going. But this week, in getting Bostic, Body, and Keon Brooks back, we need more weaponry. I talked about, to the offense just a little bit about, our receivers, needing to make sure, that we can win these one-on-ones. we're running the football well, but I mean, when it comes to the one-on-ones, man, we got to win some of these matchups. Okay, I mean, there's opportunities to go down the field, but we got to win these things. And I think getting a healthy group back with some depth is going to provide ample opportunity for guys to stay fresh. Because, you know, for us, even when you're going tempo and moving things around, we just didn't have the functional depth that we needed to make sure guys were staying fresh, you know, in Saturday's ball game. So we need more production, but we're going to get it out of that group because it's a really dynamic group with some good young pieces, with some veteran guys that can make some plays. But we got to win the one-on-one.
Welcome back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to be with you. Joined as always by Commodore head football coach Derek Mason as the Commodores get set to take on South Carolina on Saturday. It's an 11 a.m. Central Time start at Vanderbilt Stadium. And, Coach, I got to ask, I mean, there were no fans in the stands, obviously, except for a number of students and the cheer squad and a bunch of cutouts, which was nice and good to see. But with what's going on, for example, right down the street with the Titans and everything they're dealing with right now with the spike that they have had, it kind of drives home the point, and I've been around this for a long time now, as you have, the protocol that you go through, that the team goes through to try to keep everybody safe, it's I know it's tough, but it's amazing how difficult this must be.
Well, it's difficult. I've been watching the Titans, and you know, Coach Vrabel. I mean, terrific coach. You know, and better human. I love Mike, man. He's such a good dude, man. Brilliant mind. But when you talk about, you know, COVID, man, I mean, we're all trying to figure this thing out. You know, it's different. They get tested every day. They are in more of a bubble, and you know, the biggest thing that you probably see happening in their bubble is just, you know, family, okay, and trying to control the idea of, you know, exposures and what that looks like. Because every place else, maybe they're being tested and they're being guarded. And so it's tough. I mean, you're trying to figure this thing out, and the numbers keep growing, but that's what happens when it sort of inserts itself into your bubble. You know, you can find, you know, from the contact tracing to the exposures to you know, I mean, the lingering effects, man, it's not as easy as everybody believes to navigate. Okay, man, it becomes tough. And when you talk about a limited squad and a limited roster, you know, at that level, okay, I mean, a couple of positives can really decimate your squad quickly, whether it's on the coaching side or whether it's on the player side, because now what you're talking about is contact tracing and who was around those people, whether it was practice and or meetings, and their meeting rooms are a little tighter since they're in their own bubble and facility. So it's one of those things right now that the NFL is looking hard at. They're trying to find some, you know, quick answers. But as we know, I mean, there are no quick answers with COVID. And you just got to make sure that you can eliminate it or manage it to the best of your ability and then move forward.
I don't think people understand it. I didn't know this until last week, as a matter of fact, Derek, that when you have staff meetings, when you have your staff all get together, they're getting together by Zoom. They're not getting together in the same room. I did not realize that's how far this has gone.
That's how far it's gone. I mean, the idea that of in-person meeting happening with staff and or players, we just don't feel like right now is the time. I mean, when you can really get a hold of it and they've got some better answers, I think that's a time when you can start moving that way. But, you know, as of right now, it's just way too, you know, expensive or costly. And I'm not talking about in terms of money. I'm just talking about in terms of, you know, what there is to lose just having guys in in-person meetings, right? Or just having your staff member in in-person meetings. And here's the deal, too. I worry as much about my coaches as I do my players. So, like in this, we just tried to make sure in our own space that we can, you know, be smart about what we do. Everybody's always wearing their mask. I don't care where they are. Everybody's wearing a mask. Everybody's social distancing. Everybody's continually you know, been washing their hands and making sure that, you know, from a sanitization standpoint, we're on top of it. Because after a while, it becomes easy to get comfortable. And as soon as you get comfortable, that's generally when something happens. So it's not an easy process. Staff members are on their P's and Q's, but we haven't had a full staff meeting since maybe sometime back in March.
Wow, that's amazing to hear, but totally understandable. And you've been able to kind of keep this thing in check to a great degree as we visit with Commodore head coach Derek Mason. Let me ask you, as we talk about a couple of things quickly about the game passed on Saturday, I know one of the problems was pressure on Ken Seals by LSU's defense, and they were able to make him uncomfortable, able to get some things done defensively that I know were a problem for you.
Yeah, we shuffled some guys around on the offensive line. You had a chance to see Bradley Ashmore, man. We moved a couple guys around. They'll probably be less juggling, you know, the lineup this week, man, and more about, you know, again, just getting back to a solid five. I mean, that's what has to happen for us. Because, again, it's about playing together. It's about communicating, like, what you see. And the other, I mean, it's protection, you know, man, but coupled with, you know, them attacking the pass rush or them attacking the protection with, you know, stunts and games. But also, again, it gets back to the idea that we got to win some one-on-ones, too. And I think, you know, this week, you know, we've got ample opportunity, you know, to do that. Man, we've got to be smart, you know, again, about what our protections look like. And we've got to help our quarterback, you know, in as many ways as we can, whether it's, you know, with some checkdowns and being able to, you know, go deep and then make sure, man, that he can find his outlets. But, you know, in this, I think we've got to stretch, you know, at the field vertically, man, but we also got to get it out of his hands fast. And in doing so, he's accurate. You know, Ken Seals is an accurate quarterback, and man, we just got to give him a little time and make sure that we sort of expand his repertoire a little bit and sort of take the governor off a little bit and just give him some more things to throw at. But he's also got to take care of the football, and that's something that's been addressed, you know, like with him, you know, throughout this. Because, hey, man, he's a good young quarterback with a big arm, but man, you got to make good decisions to take care of it when we need you to, especially in scoring situations.
Well, I've got to believe, Coach, that one of the things you've got to like is your running game. You look at this offense. You look at this offensive line. You look at Javion Marlowe, Jamari Wakefield, and what they have done. I would think you'd be very pleased with that and want to continue that.
I'm pleased with the run game. I truly am. But I want a greater balance, you know, like with the passing attack. Actually, I want a little more, you know, opportunity maybe to get ourselves down the field so that these guys, because when you open up, you know, the vertical seams and you start to spread the field horizontally, the running lanes get bigger. These guys are running extremely hard. When I look at Javion Marlowe and Jamari Wakefield, these young men have been physical, both inside and outside. I think they made some impressive runs, you know, absent Keon Brooks. And now with getting him back, that position gets better automatically. But these guys have done a really good job of being able to, you know, handle their lion's share of the run game. So I'm proud of these two. They've done well in these first two games, and I expect nothing less than these guys continue to play well as we move forward.
So as we finish up here, Coach, I know you've looked at a lot of tape on South Carolina. They're going to be coming in kind of desperate, you know, in some ways, 0-2, Vanderbilt's 0-2. What do you see out of Will Muschamp's team?
They are a physical team, and they've had their fair share of mistakes, you know, defensively, offensively. They've battled, and they've put up some points. His teams are always going to play hard, and they're going to be physical. They're led by a fifth-year, you know, quarterback transfer from Colorado State and Hill, Shai Smith. And it seems like he's been there forever in terms of his ability to line up in the slot and be their big play guy. He is dynamic, and we got to know where he is at all times. And they're big up front, so on the offensive line, they're gonna look to maul you. They're gonna push the line of scrimmage. They've got, you know, a great run game, and with bringing in Mike Bobo from Colorado State, who's formerly at Georgia, and they Will now has somebody to match what he wants to do on the defensive side with what's happening on the offensive side of the football. So they're going to be a team that's going to come in here. I mean, they are going to be physical. We're going to have to play physical football, but also find ways to create some turnovers and actually score points. This is going to be about Vanderbilt scoring points. We got to score points and get some critical stops.
I know it had to be strange, finally, Coach. I mean, and you told me a little bit after the game about just the atmosphere. But you had some students over there in the end zone, and that was great, and appreciate that. They're going to be back again on Saturday morning. It's kind of an awkward way to play, kind of an awkward place to be, but it's nice to have whatever support you can have there.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I want to thank those, you know, the senior undergraduate students for coming out. I thought they were great in terms of the energy. You could hear them when you were on that end, and but they cheered, and they stayed, you know, man, for most of this ball game. I can definitely appreciate them. And we definitely like to get back to something that looks a little different than that. But, you know, it's a ramping up period. We just got to make sure, man, that we're providing the type of excitement in-game, man, that our fans want to see when they get back. So we got to get better. We'll be better. I look forward to the challenge this week, as does, you know, man, this football team. And we're going to do it at 11 a.m. on Saturday. So that's when kickoff is. So when you're coming through the doors, let's get ready to get it hot.
Sounds good, Coach. Always good to be with you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jim. Take care. Anchor down.
Thanks, man. That's Coach Derek Mason with us. We'll take a break. We'll come back. John Williamson, the head coach of the Commodore Women's Bowling Team, two-time national champion, will join us after this. It is great to be with you for the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. I'm Joe Fisher. Glad to be with you. We had Coach Derek Mason with us talking Commodore football a little while ago, and now joining us on the line is the head coach of the Commodore women's bowling team, two-time national champion, John Williamson. And, John, I want to start with, you were a big part of the virtual video broadcast that we had this past weekend. You were doing some tailgate grilling, man. That was nice.
You know, we typically do it at Vandyville, but, you know, we're trying to make our own fun at home. So I got enough people at home to make a tailgate happen there.
It was great. It was great to see you. And I wanted to have you on because you and your team are in one of those situations I call limbo, I guess. I think that's a pretty accurate statement. The NCAA has not really given you a time frame for when your season is going to start. Just kind of talk about where you are right now.
You know, I mean, typically October 1st is our start date of practice, and we started October 1st just like normal, and we've had conversations with the girls that things might be, slightly different. They're well aware of that. But the NCAA is meeting, I think, today and tomorrow, and they'll announce a decision on whether or not we were supposed to start October 1st. Or if we're going to push it back, and if they push it back, then that means we won't start until probably January, it looks like. But, you know, we're trying to sort of manage it the best we can, like everybody else, and you know, not necessarily like put all our faith in the NCAA is going to give us an answer anytime soon. I'm not 100% sure that they will.
What is your normal season? And what do you expect? I mean, if they wait till January, can you still get what you would call a normal season in?
I think it'll be tough because I think, like, the thing that we're talking about in scheduling our tournaments and stuff is we're a low-risk sport, but we're, I think, a high-risk environment when it comes to COVID testing. And so per NCAA protocols, like, there's not – teams don't have to test because as frequently as because we're low-risk. And so you run the danger if you do too many tournaments back to back to back that you're going to be quarantined and you're going to miss things. And so we have a small group, so we're not going to we're looking to try to do tournaments every 2 to 3 weeks at most. I think the NCAA, if they push it back, they'll sort of decrease what's necessary for the NCAA postseason. But you know, it's one of those things that we won't really know what it'll look like until we get there. I mean, tournaments are dropping and tournaments are adding, and you know, departmental restrictions on where you can travel, local restrictions on where you can travel. You know, we tend to travel to the Northeast quite a bit, but we're not going to be doing that because we'll have to quarantine as long as those sort of rules stay in place. So, you know, our options are going to be to the South and to the Central areas that we don't typically spend a lot of time in. So it'll look a little different. We'll go to some different events and we'll experience some different things. But, you know, we're just trying to control like what today and tomorrow look like.
It's interesting, John, because you used two phrases right there. One of them was you're low risk, and then another is a higher risk. And I wondered about that in terms of your sport. And I talked to Darren Ambrose about this with soccer because it was like, well, we gotta make sure the soccer balls are all, you know, sanitized and all that kind of thing and don't have a lot to deal with. Football has all that equipment to deal with. What is bowling like in that regard?
You know, I mean, we haven't really talked much about actually like sanitizing like actual balls and things like that. I mean, you can use alcohol, like rubbing alcohol on them, mm-hmm. and that as a cleaner and stuff. But you know, the epoxies and the all the surfaces and stuff don't really do well to some of the chemicals in the cleaners. So we don't do a lot of that. We clean the like the touch screens and things like that at practice and the ball returns and that kind of stuff. But, you know, I mean, for us, it's more about keeping distance, and that's going to be the hard part at tournaments is that, you know, we tend to cram about 20 people into a spot that's built for 10. And, you know, the NCAA is going to have to provide some relief into how we do things to allow us to do it sort of in a more safe way. But, you know, I'm sure it'll work out and we'll be able to do things as best we can, but right now there's more questions than answers.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, John. For people who have not been to a tournament, and I've been fortunate to attend some of these, it's a highly emotional, highly you know, interactive kind of thing. All the players usually stand up. There's high fives every time, basically after every ball is thrown. How much do you think you're going to have to change what you would normally do in your process if you're able to, you know, proceed in this regard?
Yeah, I think the thing is we try to do a decent job of educating the girls and teaching them how to do things. But I think the hard part is like once you get in a competition, sort of reflexes and sort of basic, the things that you sort of do naturally just sort of come out. And, you know, it'll be hard to regulate high fives and things like that. And, you know, you watch some of the Major League Baseball things of their COVID celebrations and stuff when they had walk-offs and stuff. And some of those are funny. But, you know, I think that it's easier to do it when you can stage it. And, you know, like if this guy gets a hit right now, we're going to, you know, do our COVID walk-off in something that sort of just happens. And so, you know, we're not going to try to police high fives and that kind of stuff. You know, we're going to try to do our best to educate them, and hopefully they can come up with something that's equally as creative, but sort of less touchy-feely. But, you know, I mean, the hard part for us right now is, you know, we've got 9 kids on our roster, and we've got 4 new people, and we're trying to build chemistry, you know, continue our core values and the culture that we have. And we've got kids that haven't been in the same room with everybody. And so, you know, our freshmen are learning the Vanderbilt way by doing everything themselves and not necessarily having upperclassmen do that. And so, you know, when we get to our first event, that'll be the first time that all 9 girls will see each other bowl. And so, you know, the first event will be interesting. And, well, I guess we'll see, we'll sort of see what it looks like when we get there. You know, you can talk about it and we can try to explain what we're trying to get done. But, you know, when the rubber meets the road is when we'll see, you know, what they come up with. They might be high-fiving all they want.
I was going to ask you about that, John, because as I understand, you basically have built 3 pods. I mean, you have 3 players in 3 different pods, and they basically spend all their time together, practice together, you know, work together and all that, but don't get to be around the other players. Is that right?
That's right. You know, we're trying to, we've been fortunate enough. We don't have many positive people to sort of act as buffers, and so we're trying to limit contact tracing and that kind of stuff. So basically, we have roommates. We have four sets of two three sets of two and one set of three. And so roommates are paired together, and then we have one set of roommates that's separated. But we, in our four-lane bowling center, the two roommates they share a lane, and the extra one is on the lane that's furthest away. And so that way, if there happens to be a positive case, we limit the people who are going to be impacted by that. It's a risk reward kind of a thing. You know, anybody can catch this virus. What we're trying to do is we're just trying to protect our team and our season the best we can, and not have, you know, a deal where we have, one positive case and eight close contacts, because we don't manage that very well.
It sounds like you're at a game. Am I right?
I am. We just finished the Page High School freshman. My oldest, is playing freshman football this year, and I'm forgetting that it's like 15 degrees colder at a football game than it is anywhere else in the world. So I have to dress warmer.
Well, can you hang with me for a couple of minutes? Can I take a break and come back for just a couple of minutes?
Yes, sir.
Okay, John, I appreciate that. John Williamson, the head coach of the Vanderbilt women's bowling team, is with us. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have a couple more minutes with him right after this. And we welcome you back to the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game. Joe Fisher, glad to be with you talking Vanderbilt athletics, and glad to be joined by Commodore women's bowling coach John Williamson. Product of Franklin Road Academy, right? So talk a little of that up, right?
A little bit, you know. I mean, it was a good time. I guess they're doing pretty good this year.
I think so. I think so.
And your son went there, so they must produce well-rounded people.
There you go. that's a good answer. We'll just keep on after that. That's good. how difficult is it? John, as you mentioned earlier, you don't know what your season is going to be, when it's going to be, how it's going to start. How difficult is it just to focus your team and just deal with this day to day? How do you do that?
I think you do it by being honest, and you tell them that you tell them when you have answers, and tell them when you don't have answers, and you tell them that you're hoping that, you know, that you might know an answer, and they got pretty used to this year that I don't know was a very common answer. And so it's not an answer we like to give, because we like to be very mapped out. We're very regimented in what we do, and this year it's just not going to be like that. And so the quicker we were able to understand that it's not going to be like that, the easier this year will be. And so, you know, our girls have done a very good job of being focused on the day-to-day. We had a pretty good opportunity to win an NCAA championship last year. That got taken away, and so the girls aren't letting anything, you know, take anything for granted. And so, you know, if we get to practice today, that's a blessing for them. And then, you know, if we get to practice tomorrow, then that's a blessing for them. And we just do it sort of day by day. And, you know, we don't really get too far ahead. We don't talk about too much. You know, we were talking about going to our first tournament at Tulane on the 1st of November, and then on October 1st, Tulane canceled it. So, so we're trying not to get too far ahead of ourselves. I told them I let them know plenty of time before we were going to a tournament, so they wouldn't be surprised. But, you know, I guess the way we're doing it is we're just trying to be, you know, giving as much information as we have, which most of the time is not much, and then just trying to have open, honest conversations and dialogue. And so, you know, if they have questions, they can ask them. We've got some pretty good leaders in our group that are they're doing a good job of trying to lead, like, the freshmen through Zooms and all that kinds of stuff. You know, they try to eat outdoors around the tennis center. There's some tables out there. So they try to interact in a safe possible way, but, you know, it's just not the same. And so, you know, there's no real good reason or there's no real good way to get, but, you know, we're trying to do the best we can, and they know that if we have information, we'll give it to them, and if we don't, we'll just say we don't have it.
I was going to ask you, John, because, and if for folks who don't know and those who do, you spent a lot of time before you took this job as the bowling coach, you spent a lot of time with Tim Corbin's baseball team. And you were kind of in the midst of the development of that program. And now it's kind of carried over to your program. I wanted to ask you about, having players and having athletes come in with the expectation, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am, the expectation that you're going to compete for a championship every year. Talk about having those players walk into this program with that expectation.
You know, I mean, that's luckily sort of where we've gotten to as a program, is we recruit people that expect to win. And they want to win, and they like to win. You know, our freshman class this year has three junior amateur U.S. junior amateur champions at the U15 level, and then we have three at the U15 level, and one of the girls won the U17 level in 2019. So we have four U.S. junior amateur championships in the three freshmen, and so, you know, they come in with this expectation that they're going to win. And, you know, and I think that, like, the first thing that you have to do to be successful is you have to think that you're going to win. And there's a big difference between hoping to win and wanting to win and knowing you're going to win. And, you know, it doesn't mean we're going to, but, you know, come any kind of a tournament, any kind of shot, you know, I want to have people that think they're going to be the one that's going to make it to win. And, you know, we have a decent number of kids on our team that have lots of individual success. We have some that have some team success, and, you know, and it just sort of spills over and feeds into each other. And so, you know, that's what makes us, I think, different than some, is that we go to tournaments and we expect to win. We don't really hope to win.
Well, I'm but last question here, because I know you got a game going on there you want to watch, and I appreciate you being with us, but what coaches do you talk to about your program and about what you do? And I'm not just talking about bowling coaches. I mean, and I'm talking about Vanderbilt coaches. I mean, because I think that's one of the interesting elements. I think Vanderbilt's a little bit unique in that regard, that there are coaches from a lot of different sports that communicate with each other. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, we do monthly head coach like lunches. And we, you know, when we talk about all things from recruiting to, you know, like program management, you know, like especially right now with the coronavirus stuff, like what are we doing for like precautionary things and practice stuff. And Coach Mason's been very, you know, very vocal and very out front in what they're doing to try to help us. You know, they're the first team back to campus. And so, you know, they've handled it very well, but they've also learned a whole lot, you know, like we should do this and not that. And, you know, and so we don't have to learn sort of the hard way. You know, we can take the stuff that they got, but, you know, I think that's very unique. You know, I've talked to the Vanderbilt football recruiters quite a bit on like, what are they doing? Because I think football recruiting is in a different world than like Olympic sport recruiting. And to me, if I can figure out something that football's football recruiting is doing, and, you know, I can spin it and do it like a bowling way, then it's something that my competitors aren't doing. And they have the luxury of having all the staff that can to think of all the things that you can do for recruiting, all the different unique creative stuff. And then, you know, and then they're very nice, and they're very willing to tell us and say, this is what we're doing, this is what's working, or, you know, we can talk about, hey, well, we're doing, you know, we're doing this, and they're like, oh, well, that was really big like 2 years ago, and now we've moved on to doing this stuff. And you're like, oh, okay, you know, like, you know, Josie and I spent spend most of our time trying to keep our head above water, you know, so we don't necessarily, you know, have all this time to brainstorm about different recruiting pitches and things. And so, you know, yeah, I mean, our department's been very open, and coaches have success in lots of different ways and lots of different sports. And so, you know, you can steal a little bit from all of them, and in your sport, it's new.
Well, John, thank you so much for spending some time with us. I hope the football game's going well, and I hope you get your season going here shortly. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Joe.
That's John Williamson, head coach of the Commodore women's bowling team. We'll take a break, come back, and wrap it up on the Commodore Hour after this. It has been a great night here on the Commodore Hour. We had an opportunity to visit with Commodore head football coach Derek Mason, talking about Vanderbilt getting set for South Carolina coming to Vanderbilt Stadium. 11 o'clock Central Time kickoff on Saturday morning. Our broadcast will begin at 9:30 with the tailgate show. Great to have John Williamson with us as well to talk about the Vanderbilt women's bowling team. And they are waiting and hoping that they're going to have a season that's going to be set up for them here shortly. Of course, we're watching a bunch of Vandy boys in the Major League Baseball playoffs. Of course, earlier Houston beat Oakland 10-5 in game one. Yankees and Tampa Bay playing right now. Tomorrow, Atlanta in game one against Miami. And then the Dodgers with Walker Buehler on the mound. I think that's a fascinating story. Walker Buehler has become the ace for the Dodgers. Even though Clayton Kershaw is on that roster, he is the guy that's going to go in game one tomorrow against the Padres. So we look forward to that as well. He's had a little problem with a blister on a finger. Hopefully that will not crop up, and he can go multiple innings there for the Dodgers in game one. I'm Joe Fisher. Glad to have you with us for the Commodore Hour here on 102.5 The Game.
Thanks for listening to tonight's edition of Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Tonight's show was brought to you by Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, and by the Middle Tennessee Ford Dealers. The preceding was a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.